So for the last few weeks, we've been taking a bit of a journey through a series called Jesus Is, The Making of a Christmas Story. And today we're going to continue that. We've said that Jesus is, everything begins and ends with Jesus. The whole Christmas story begins and ends with the person of Jesus. In Revelation 1:18, this is a series verse that we have. It says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." We sang that this morning, says the Lord, "who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty." So the past few weeks, we've been looking at a few titles that depict the person of Jesus from the Old Testament. The first week, Jeff told us that Jesus is life-giver. To God's people, a Savior would be someone who would rescue them from oppression. But Jeff taught us how Jesus, the Messiah, gives us hope to live, and more so gives us life eternal with the Father through Himself. And then last week, Chick talked to us, and he told us that Jesus is the mighty warrior. Right? He was saying that Jesus not only just be life giver, but he is the only one mighty enough, powerful enough to save us, to do what he did, to come to earth to die for us. He was the only one that could have done that, and he was mighty enough to do that, and that he is our mighty warrior. So that brings us today. Today we're going to take a look at how Jesus is shepherd. At how Jesus is shepherd. So I want to, how many of us have ever been lost before? Right? Yeah, pretty much everyone, right? I used to drive a truck for Impact, drove a truck for about 3.5 years. We'd have this nice little GPS with us, right? And we would just plug in the addresses of all the houses we were going to be going to. Even the GPS would take us to the wrong places at times. I'd be lost down in like South Philly, and I'd be like, where am I going, right? And this, I'd be like, detour, right? So I'm like, okay, reroute, and it takes me down this little road like this wide, and I have a truck that's like this wide, right? And on this side of the road, all the cars are parked, and on the other side, there's big concrete pillars, and I'm like, how am I going to get down this street? So I'm like, my half the truck's up on the sidewalk, and the other hand, it's like I'm rolling down this way. And then I have to take a turn. I'm like, man, this GPS ain't taking me nowhere. I'm so lost. I don't know what's going on. I need someone to help me. I need someone to guide me out of here, right? So eventually, twists and turns and everything, I get back on the right road, and I get to everybody's houses I need to get to, right? So I'm sure you guys have experienced the same thing. You've been lost sometimes, not knowing where the heck you are. Maybe you've been following people. You have a chain of like 4 cars. We used to do that all the time in youth group when we go, when we have like big events, like going down the shore. Jeff would always lead, and there'd be like 4 cars behind him, and we'd all just follow. And I remember one time, he took a quick turn, and him and Tina made it, and me and Lauren, Yazdemir went the other way, and Kate went a different way, and there was like 3 different ways everyone was going. And then I got lost from everybody, and I had Jake Obot with me in the car and all the luggage. And it was just like 22-year-old dude and Jake Obot in the car, and I'm just like, I'm lost in New Jersey somewhere. I have no idea where I'm going. I think I even called Tom. He's from New Jersey. I was like, Tom, how do I get to where I'm going? And he's like, I'll just continue down this way. And all of a sudden, my car started to like make noises and stop. And I was like, what is going on? So Jake had leaned over to try to ask me something, and he put my car in neutral by accident. And I was like, why can't I go? What's going on? Right? And then I'm like, Jake, stay in your seat. All right, don't lean over. Right? I had like pulled over. So then cars are whizzing by, so I had to pull back on. But I was lost. I had nowhere. No idea where I was going. I was calling people frantically because I'm not from New Jersey. I have no idea. I have more of an idea now because I've driven to the beach more often. But I needed help. I needed someone to guide me. I needed someone to show me where I was going, to help me get to where I was going. So today we're going to be talking about Jesus as shepherd and how he protects us and how he guides us in certain ways. And we're going to take a look at Micah chapter 5. So if you would, turn to Micah chapter 5, and we're going to see a foretelling of Jesus' coming depicted in a way that reinforces him being our shepherd. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what shepherds do, the occupation of shepherds, and how it all kind of works together, and how we can kind of live under Jesus being our shepherd. So Micah chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from verse 2 to verse 5, the beginning of verse 5. So it says this, Micah 5, 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. So first, let's take a look at a couple of verses here. We're going to take a look at the verses that we just read and see kind of, you know, what Micah's talking about a little bit. So first off here in verse 2, he says, Bethlehem Ephrathah. So most of you may know this, but Bethlehem is translated into the house of bread. That's what the name Bethlehem means. And Ephrathah is translated as fruitful. So the reason why the second word Ephrathah is put on behind Bethlehem is because back then in those times there were a few Bethlehems in this area, and Micah wanted to make sure that we got the right Bethlehem of where this person was going to be hailing from. So this specific town was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, which that would make it the territory of the tribe of Judah, which would go along with the prophecy of Jesus being born from. So there were a couple other Bethlehems in the area, so the reason why we said Bethlehem Ephrathah is to denote this specific town of Bethlehem. And then it goes even further describing this town. It says that it's small among the clans. So this Bethlehem was a very small town, a very small city within the tribe of Judah. It was basically insignificant in terms of a physical relation. So the reason why it was thought to be insignificant is in case of wartime, this town wouldn't be even able to muster up, you know, a couple hundred to 1,000 men to try to fight. So, you know, the town really wasn't thought of as much. It was just a small little town, very insignificant, just wasn't thought of to be very powerful or anything. So today, as we talk about Jesus and we talk about being the shepherd, the title of the message today is The Great in the Small. So as we can see that the most significant person in history came from this little, most insignificant town. So we can see how the great came from the small in this small, small town. So then we continue to the end of verse 2. It says, the origins of from old and ancient times. This terminology was used typically in that day a couple of ways. First, it was often used to talk about things that either lasted for a long time, or other ways it was talked about something that was forever or eternal, from ancient of old. So something that always has been and always will be. So it's just further evidence of the prophecy of Jesus coming from this small town in the tribe of Judah, and that this ruler that's talked about has been always, has been forever and ever, has been around. So then we move to verse 3. And the first thing in verse 3, it says that, therefore Israel will be abandoned. It's not the fact that God's forgetting about it or that he turns his back from it or whatnot, but there is, after the prophets, there was 400 years of silence because Israel wanted kings, right? So God said, fine, you want kings, you don't want me, I'll give you kings. Right, so up until Jesus is born, there's 400 years of silence, so to say, and God kind of lets Israel do what Israel wants to do in those times. But as it's referencing this ruler that's going to be coming, the end of verse 3 says, the rest of his brothers will return to rejoin the Israelites. And this is just saying that Jesus, Emmanuel, you know, God with us, he's going to be coming back, and Israel will come back together as a nation under Christ. And those who believe will believe and become under Christ. So Christ will bring back that split tribes and whatnot. So this is all just continuing to reference this ruler that will be coming, and it's continuing to depict Jesus as this person. And then we go to verse 4, and here's where we see that it says that he will stand and shepherd his flock. He will stand and he will shepherd his flock. Jesus will be the great shepherd that will come to guide his people and to be here for his people. And his people can find rest and security in him. And then at the end of verse 4, it says, greatness will be reached, his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And it's in the manner of how Jesus lives his life and shepherds his flock. It shows that his greatness, people hear about him from all over the place, and people want to know who Jesus is, and people want to come and see Jesus, and people flock to him all over the place during his ministry. So this continues to show, depict this person of who Jesus is and is going to be. And then in verse 5, it says that he will be our peace. Whether there still be opposition, there will be peace in the person of Jesus Christ and what he will bring with him. So it's a little breakdown of the couple verses that we just read, but where I kind of want to camp out a little bit, as we said, is the fact that Jesus is shepherd and what it looks like as Jesus being the great shepherd. So before we get into a little of that and what it means for us, as I said before, I want to get into a little bit of what the job of a shepherd is, kind of the occupation of shepherds. So first off, in my opinion, a shepherd's main task is to look after his flock. The main task for a shepherd is to look after however many sheep they have in their flock, is to make sure that their flock is taken care of. Now, a couple things about sheep. Sheep are very dull animals. They're very unintelligent. They need a lot of help to basically live and to not just go off and wander and get killed by something. They need a lot of help, which is why I don't necessarily revel in the fact that we're compared to sheep a lot in the scriptures, aren't we? Right? So we're compared to this dull, unintelligent animal that can fend for itself, that needs to be helped out everywhere. So when you first think of that, you go, oh man, I don't want to be compared to a sheep. That offends me. Right? But when you think about it a little bit, you can kind of understand why we are considered like sheep. And we're going to get into that a little bit in a bit, why we are like sheep. But going back to who and what shepherds are, within the task of looking after their flock, I feel a shepherd does this in two pretty main ways. The first way we've kind of talked about a little bit is that he guides his flock. The first way is that he guides his flock. And the second way that he looks after his flock is that he guards his flock as well. So, two main ways. He guides his flock, and he guards his flock. So let's talk about a little bit of how a shepherd kind of guides their flock and what that means. So first off, guiding a flock of sheep takes a pretty great deal of patience and persistence, because sheep tend to wander off a little bit, right? If you're not paying closely attention to the sheep, or they're not paying close attention to you and where you're going, they're going to wander off. They're going to leave, and they're going to go, oh, what's over here? This looks pretty cool, or whoa, what's over there? And they're going to get off the beaten path. I talked about this about a year or so ago in youth group with our kids, And Nathan Bierma told me a story, which I didn't believe until he showed me the actual newspaper clipping. There was a couple years ago in Turkey, there was about 100 sheep that literally just walked off a cliff. Legit, just walked off a cliff. The first 25 or 50 or so died, but the last 50 didn't, because they ended up landing on the first 50, and, you know, sheep are nice and fluffy, right? So the last 50 survived because they landed on the first 50, but all of them, think about it, all 100 sheep just walked off this cliff. They're like, oh, look, a cliff. One walks off, the next one's like, oh, that one goes, oh, the next one walks off, oh, that one walked off. They're following each other off this cliff, right? Something broke down in the guiding process, and this either the shepherd wasn't there, the shepherd took his eye off, something happened, the sheep took their eye off the shepherd, I don't know what happened, but somehow the sheep just go, and just go off this cliff, and everyone follows, right? So sheep are pretty dumb. So this is what shepherds are dealing with. So it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of persistence to look after these sheep. So how does he do this? Well, a shepherd has a thing called a rod, okay? So a shepherd has a rod, and it's his tool on how he guides his sheep. So a rod can be used two different ways. It can be used gently to help lovingly, you know, corral sheep back, and you have this long rod. You go, no, 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 come back over here. Thank you, come back over here. Come back, follow me, right? Or a rod can be used forcefully. Right, and sometimes they'll hit the sheep and they'll break their legs. Right, they'll go boom, the sheep, right, because it's starting to wander. Right, but then the shepherd will pick the sheep up, right, and it'll carry it where it needs to go, because sometimes the sheep needs extra emphasis on, you're not doing the right thing, you're going away from me, you need to come back, and you keep going nice. Sometimes you just need to give them a little flick, and sometimes that's what happens. So then, if you've ever seen pictures of shepherds, sometimes there's pictures of shepherds depicted as sheep. They'll hold them around their neck, right? So two legs over here, two legs over here, and they'll basically carry them, right? Because sometimes sheep just need to be carried because they can't do anything else right, or they're hurt or they're injured, and the shepherd needs to pick them up and carry them to where they need to go. So this rod can be used forcefully, or this rod can be used gently to guide the sheep. I do think, though, there's one really good quality about a sheep, probably the best quality, if you can call it that, and it's that a sheep will listen only to its shepherd's voice, all right? And a sheep will listen to that. A shepherd will call to the sheep, and the sheep will know its shepherd's voice and will listen and will come most of the time. So that's a good quality about a sheep. Right, and we've used this to our advantage at youth as well. We've done this activity before to kind of reinforce this point. We made kind of like an obstacle course downstairs, right? We'll put like chairs and tables and everything, and then we'll pick two kids, right? They're partners. One blindfolds themselves, and the other one has to talk to their partner and guide them through the obstacle course. So we start doing it, right? And it's going good, but then I tell all, you know, 17 other kids to start yelling and screaming and telling the kid that's blindfolded to go a different way, so they have to try to listen to the right voice and pick it out of the crowd of voices that's yelling at them and follow that voice. They have to intently listen to that voice. It got crazy at times, let me tell you. I mean, you know, 17 teens screaming at one another. And this kid, we had one girl stand up and hit her head on a table because someone told her to stand up, and she listened to that kid instead of the kid that was telling her not to stand up, right? Don't worry, she was safe. She didn't get injured or anything like that. Everything was cool. But it's just another way that you have to hone in on your shepherd's voice, right? And hear that voice and follow that voice, because that voice is going to lead you, is going to guide you to safety, and it's going to guide you to where you need to go. So that's guiding. The second way that a shepherd leads his flock or tends to his flock is by guarding his flock. So this is a pretty daunting task that you have to guard these sheep that just want to do whatever they want to do. They want to walk away from you. They want to do what? So you have to guide them to go the right way, and then you have to guard them at times with your life, right? So there's many predators, you know, wolves, lions, bears, sheep, whatever, not sheep, that want to get to the sheep. And the shepherd has to be aware and learn how to defend their flock from these predators, right? We saw in the story of David, right, before he goes and fights Goliath, he's the tender of the flock, the shepherd of the sheep, and it says that he fights off these predators, right? So this rod that they have to guide, it also can help them guard, right? It can also help them fend off predators that come, and they probably have other things at their disposal that they have on their person to help them ward off these predators in some way, shape, or form. It's probably why David got so good at using a slingshot. It's because it helped him ward off some of these predators, right? But you got to stand tall, and you got to stand firm as a shepherd to guard your flock from these animals that want to get to it, from these things that want to destroy your flock. But the thing about it is that the shepherd has so much love for his flock that he's tending that he guards them and guards them, like I said, sometimes with his life even, puts his life on the line for his sheep. So, as we talk about guiding and as we talk about guarding, as we talk about sheep that listen to their shepherd's voice and that get corralled, and we are those sheep, right? So something that popped into my head as I was writing this, something that God, I kind of had to ask myself is at times, what other voices do I listen to instead of listening to my shepherd's voice? There's so many voices. There's so many things that yell at us in the world that want to get our attention, that want to flash in front of us and say, no, come this way. No, do this. No, do that. Right? So I have to hone in on my shepherd's voice. So what other voices do you listen to instead of your shepherd's voice? So in our passage here in Micah, we talked about Jesus being the shepherd for the reunited Israel, for his people. We know, as it says in Scripture, that Jesus came first for the Jew, for his people, but also then to the Gentile as well, which is what we are. Anybody that's the non-Jew is considered a Gentile. So I want to take you to Ephesians 2. I'm going to read a passage in here. I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 14 to 18, and then we'll continue. It says this: "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." This is about Jews and Gentiles being reconciled through Christ. Verse 15, "by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." Verse 18, last verse, "for through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit," that being Christ Jesus. So now he has brought the two opposing sides together as one. There's no Jew or Gentile anymore. It's those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ become one new family, become under Christ. So now, this coming king that's coming, and he's life giver, he's mighty warrior, but he's also shepherd, right? So he's shepherd to his people, but now we are considered his people. When we are under him, he is our shepherd too. And we have all the benefits of having him as our shepherd, of him guiding us and of him guarding us. So I talked a few minutes ago about us being compared to sheep, right? And sometimes that can seem cruel, that can seem mean, that these sheep are so unintelligent, these sheep just, they they can't do anything right outside of themselves. It seems mean, but I'll tell you what, when I look at myself, when I look at my life over these last 31 years, I think I'm more like a sheep than I tend to care to admit at times. I am that sheep that wanders. I am that sheep. If you leave me be, I'll go over that cliff. I'll just walk right over. I'll follow something right over that cliff. Maybe it's popularity. Oh, I want to be popular. Boom, over the cliff. Maybe it's fear that drives me over the cliff. Maybe it's temptation. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's insecurity. But I'll walk right over that cliff 100 times out of 100 if I don't have my eyes on the shepherd. So I am that sheep. I need that guidance. I need that shepherd to guard me because I can't fend for myself. I can't do anything good outside of myself. It all comes from Christ and his work through the cross and then his work in me. So I step back and I go, wow, I am that sheep. I do wander. So that it makes me think again of another question I had to ask myself through this as I prepared this message and I wrestled through something. I said, "What, Andrew, what takes your eyes off of the shepherd?" So I say to you, what takes your eyes off of your shepherd in your life? What takes your eyes off of the shepherd? But see, here's the thing about our great shepherd, right? He's so gracious, right? He's so loving. He's so merciful that he will continually come back after us and say, no, 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 come back here. No, 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 come back here. There are times where he'll give us the tap with the rod, right? No, stop, enough. And then he'll pick us up. He'll say, come back here. Now, he may allow us to wander a bit, but he'll always say, come back here. He is our guide, and he is the one who guards us. I've had plenty of times in my life where he's used the rod to give me a little tap. He said, No, no, no. We just got a puppy. And I can't tell you how many times I'm saying no to this puppy. It's even more than I say no to my kids, okay? And that's a lot, right? So this puppy's jumped. This puppy doesn't know any better, right? He jumps up on the couch when, you know, when we're just sitting there trying to get something on the couch. And you think that no. You know, you give him a little, you know, tap on the nose. No. You know, he tries to bite you. He's a puppy, so he nips you, right? He's nipping you. No. No, he goes after the kids and nips the kids, but they don't know any better, right? They're like, ha, ha, ha. Right. No, 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 no. Right. I say it to my kids all the time. No, Ethan, don't rip the ornament off the tree. We just put it up there. It's all nice and neat. No, don't rip the lights off the tree. I know they're colorful. All Abby wants to do is play with these lights. Right? No, 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 no. Right? But it's my job to guide them, right, as a father. It's my job to guide them. It's my job to guard them as a father as well. But so many times, Jesus is saying, no, come back. No. Don't do that. Come back to me. Listen to my voice. Keep your eyes on me. I'm the shepherd. And Jesus even did the greatest thing to guard us. You know, we said that sometimes shepherds go as far as guarding us with their life. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. I mean, that's what he came down for, to do his Father's will, to glorify his Father. And the greatest way that he did that is by going to the cross and dying for us, the most crazy, wretched way that someone could die in that time period. He did. He did that for me. He did that for you. He took all of our sin, my wretchedness, my darkness, the things that nobody else knows about in my life, but he knows. He took. The things that nobody else knows in your life, but he knows. He took. He nailed to that cross. And that blood that he shed, he covered that. That's what he did for you and I. That's how he guarded us. That's how he starts to guide us through the power that comes through the cross. We can call on that, and we can call on him as our shepherd. And he says, yes, follow me. Right? He's not interested in the smartest. Right? He's not interested in the most good-looking person. He's not interested in the most educated person. He's interested in the person that will say, yes, I will follow you. He says, follow me. I say, yes, I'll follow you. His disciples, they were unlearned men. They weren't the best of the best. They weren't the best scholarly people. But he said, follow me. And they said, yes, I will follow you. And he brought them along. And he guided them. So what I want to encourage us to do today is to follow the shepherd. We need to follow our shepherd. I don't know what that looks like in your life. I don't know the voices that you tend to listen to over your shepherds. I don't know what brings your eyes off of the shepherd and makes you go over that cliff. It's not for me to know. But I encourage you, I challenge you to follow the shepherd today. Intently follow the shepherd. Keep your eyes on the shepherd. Listen for his voice among all the other voices that are in your life, among all the other voices that are in the world. Hone your senses to listen to your shepherd's voice. Listen to his voice. Because his is the one true voice that will always guide in the right direction. When we listen to that voice, we won't wander off. We won't go over that cliff. Let's follow the shepherd and listen to the shepherd's voice today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for just who you are, Father, and that you came as a baby for us, and you came to this earth to do your Father's will, and that was so much as to go to the cross for us and to die for us, Lord. And we can call you now Great Shepherd because you guide us in our life and you guard as well. Not that nothing bad will ever happen to us, Lord, but you guard our hearts. And you guide us in the way that we can go. So I pray today as we hear that you are the Great Shepherd, Lord, that we will continue to follow you, Lord, that we will follow our shepherd, and that we will listen to your voice, because it is such a sweet voice, and it is one that will guide us in the way we need to go. So we thank you, and we love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.